I thought we should do the first one in the local office, but my view is that these guys in the press are so, basically most of us are damn convinced. And they give you the, I said, why let them filter it? And even though they can pick anything they want out of what was said, it's better for the people to hear me say anything than they have rather say what I said. So I'm always going to go out there, at least be squeaky, why the hell that? Screw it.
I wouldn't, and also.
And I should be just in, like, out there, I was very informed today, you know, I guess you're going to talk quite a lot, but I wanted to kid her on the mall and all. She's impressive though.
That was a tough one too.
Well, just sorry.
It's one year.
That's why I know everything's pretty good, right? It's good to answer.
Well, I'm
disarmed and doing it.
I'm just delighted that you said you wanted to get a written opinion because, of course, I don't know that that Watergate question, you know, is going to be very delicate when.
If no, we have to have a written opinion.
We should have a.
Yeah, I don't want to go off the top of my head.
Oh, no, no, I was so relieved when you did that because Mama, I could tell what Clark was doing. He was working around the.
Well, this guy that was fired is the I marked in the news center. That's how that happened. I said, get rid of that son of a bitch, you know, because he's been doing this too many times. So Siemens was much standard, I would get rid of him, I understand. Claim was actually privileged because he knew that I had ordered.
Right.
But anyway, that's why I didn't back off of that. But as far as Watergate is concerned, I can't claim privilege because I don't know anything about it. Nobody's discussed it.
You know, but there's an element of separation of powers that you can argue. It's not privilege, it's a related issue. We may want it, we may not. Maybe. In my case, I mean, I'm ecstatic about this, but.
This way, I just thought it was good.
Oh, you did?
To get rid of the question.
Oh, you did? You got
rid of it? I was thinking, in a way, you got to sort of mix the press conferences up. And sometimes be a little contemplative and so forth. And others, but, the usual, not advice, but suggestions, quiet, otherwise, and some.
Many of you gag to have to write it, but it's
a wonderful piece. Kissinger did refuse once in his brief.
That's right.
It's an honorable settlement, it's an honorable peace.
Peace with honor. I know it makes some of you gag to write that phrase, peace with honor, but it would have been a dishonor, and then you went on. Oh, brilliant answer. And of course, the wires aren't a fair judge. We'll see what the press says, but the wires are not playing.
They're playing Kissinger's joke.
Well, no, they're playing the press conference, but they're...
Well, that's what I said about that.
Yeah, well,
they're not even playing the embassy. They would be. It's got to be in there.
They haven't. There hasn't been much on it. There's a little bit, yeah, a little bit.
But that's a hell of an important story.
Well, the embassy one is very important, and you said, I'm not talking about the...
A little junker
of the Peace Corps, but I'm talking about criminal penalties. When they will serve for violating the law, then we'll let them back. Otherwise, no. Marvelous answer. The other one I thought was great was the country clubs and dilettantes. That went right by a lot of them, too.
Oh, you mean about the
interest rate?
Yeah, the interest rate. The dilettantes. It's totally true, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful press conference. I mean, every single question you handled superbly.
I talked to Walker most of the night, but I think in that kind of a conference, it's just as well to be very, frankly, to be perfectly candid. Filibuster, I was doing it deliberately for myself, so that I didn't have to get into
Socratic
or
Jay,
but I didn't
want
to answer those questions.
No, I think you dominated it on five issues that are good ones for us, and that's whenever you can do that, you're
now,
just mildly
at risk. You know, I think this the more I consider this, I probably am going to have to go through it. It is work going out here and slash to go through the business of doing one about every couple of weeks. Right out there. Now, the point about it is it's disciplines the bureaucracy. And second, it puts me on the people and see how to pen, maybe every 3 weeks. And then to do one at 7:30 at night in time, about every 6 weeks or so. I mean, well, those, you know, they just got to see you once doing the whole act. What's your view about it?
Well, my feeling, Mr. President, is that's your best form.
Well, you remember somebody, you know, said that once.
Oh, absolutely your best form.
That I can do, that I should use it more.
And you know, in my opinion, you cannot overuse those, because I think the American people, once a month, seeing the President, answering questions, because you do it so, I mean, the way you do it is so beautiful that you easily could be out there 9, 10, 11, 12 times a year.
And walk in there that much.
And in the East Room, in prime time, and let make all three networks carry it. To me, it is going to be more important in the second term than it was in the first that people see you directly. They have developed you have engendered a much greater degree of personal confidence than you had in the first 2 years in the White House. I think you will keep this country calm. I think you'll keep the people behind you. And I think your ability to govern, to get past the Congress, is going to be greatly enhanced if the American people see you in that environment, confident, as you are in command of the subject. And they watch these jackasses make fools themselves, frankly, if they try to pin you down on things. Because you're able to turn any question your way. I've never heard a question you couldn't turn your way.
Well, I have some, but you know, what I meant is that going out, see, the ones like this don't require as much battery. And I say we don't have to be quiet. As a matter of fact, we could televise this.
Beautiful.
I don't think any problem.
No.
I think maybe the thing to do is to do the televising and not, frankly, put quite as much. See, the problem is the amount of effort that's required. I always think that on television, I agree that that's a hell of a lot of time.
Yeah, of course, you hold yourself to a higher standard than I think you need to. Or
I wonder if we don't. I talked to Holland about that, and I said, you know, it's because our whole people, I mean, Kissinger and Earth and all the rest, read every one of them. And, well, this wasn't as good as the other one. Well, the hell with it, you know. Basically, God, when I read the Kennedy stuff, Eisenhower stuff and Johnson. None of those guys can do a press conference. You know, they talk about Kennedy Chevy, all they had were softballs up there, and he awed around and this and that. The idea that they were all that articulate is a bunch of bullshit.
Or he would take a question he didn't want to answer, and he would answer it with a joke and brush it off, and always go to the other side of the room.
I'm always responsive. And I just wonder maybe if we ought to just do more and not frankly worry so much about it.
Well, you know the five or six areas that they're going to probe on, and you are always in command of those. And if you get a fluke like the executive privilege, then the easy answer is, yes, it was properly invoked under these circumstances, and if you are confused about my position, I'll be glad to issue a policy statement in writing on a very complex subject that involves the operations of the government, period, and move on to something else. If that were done on live television, you'd have no problem at all. I mean, if you catch a question that you're not expecting, it's easy enough to get rid of it and go to something you want. I mean, you have the ability to take, like, that impoundment of funds question and turn it around into a just marvelous, the same way Jefferson did and Jackson did and Truman did, and then go into taxes, which is something you wanted to say. And I think you can do that anytime on live prime time television. As a matter of fact, you can do it easier because the press are self-conscious when they know they're on camera, and they'll read their pat questions in advance. We know pretty much what they'll ask. In a half hour, you really only can deal with four or five subjects well. And hell, you know what? You know the points you want to make, and that's all. That's really all it counts. People don't sit and keep score the way we do. You know, they don't look at the issue first.
Where's the career actually? There's more interview about the guy who was picking on poor Sullivan for his being depressed, and I looked at the damn thing. Paul Sullivan was saying the Chinese probably play a role in it more and all that. No, this is terrible, they must have done it. Well, goddammit. Henry, you know, he's a great one to criticize everybody else, but he should look to himself now.
Well, that crack you made, you know, about I'm not going to speculate about their motives.
I am not in trouble. That's a cute thing to say in Georgetown.
Devastating
out there.
Devastating, because you give them the opening then to play all kinds of, like the New York Times did. Yeah. In fact, that quote has been picked up out of his press conference more than anything else he said.
Otherwise, very, very fine statement.
Well, learned.
Except for the fact that the learned is only to do us one good.
No, I was just on Conley. I was prepping him for his Today Show tomorrow. And I just said, you know, John, the trouble with Henry is that there was an opportunity that any of us would have sawed off our left arms to have to walk out there and say, this president bravely withstood the pressures of 4 years. Oh, well, he's all primed to say that tomorrow. He'll do a great job for us. And,
but you see, I haven't read Henry's full transcript because I haven't put all the goddamn questions for the press, but I did this because they want to get caught between the crack. And frankly, Sullivan and his half hour. Much better job for the president, and Sullivan's
yes.
No friend of the president's than Henry in his hour and 45 minutes.
Well, and Sullivan, by the way, I watched Sullivan. He was smooth, very cool, very crisp, very sharp and clear in what he was saying. And he made more points for us than Henry did. That's exactly right. He really did.
Well, you know, not even in that little half hour conference that I have these checkers. I deliberately take a question from the listener because he's the one that ran that comedy story.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that came
mm-hmm.
from Russell's house.
No. So what, the comedy story?
Yeah. This is the biggest. Timmich had he's got a group now.
A luncheon group.
Yeah, a luncheon. Russell's house was in the cancer. And toward the end of the luncheon, Elizabeth's question said, what about 19? What about comedy? Well, I said, I know the president from what I think makes a great deal of it. There was no question of the business about running. They had been running and so forth and so on. Then Lister Gavard and this son of a bitch, Jules Whitcoker, got together and went out and wrote a story to the effect that they had heard from somebody that had seen the president that he'd favored comedy for 76. When Russell's house came in to see me, I saw him for 5 minutes about, doing, or 10 minutes about clean air, or whatever the hell he works in. We never even discussed politics. And Russell's house didn't tell him that. Timmich was furious that that's where that story came out.
out of the luncheon, because,
Well, the point was, I had to come out of the office with Rock, because we didn't have the children.
Oh, yeah, well, that's still take any little thing to...
I'm glad you got it. Yeah,
okay.
Well, as I said, everybody was checking around, and, Ziegler did the checking, it was Rock's house. We were talking about that comedy thing.
Yeah.
But Rock shot him. And he didn't say it, that's the other one, that was Al Rowe. He just said, he knew the president thought Conley was a hell of a caller. That's all.
Yeah, something.
Sorry, but I keep all worried. He thinks it sure does, but...
Yeah, I bet that the Agnew people are up the wall.
Good thing he says. As a matter of fact, I got it, so screw the dollars on that now, because I gave him free leads about it. I said, first, I was not going to endorse until after the primary, after I'd seen him working the primary. Second, if I had my advice to all of them, Agnew supporters was never to do anything except work for the election of people of their own parties and that before, and then to run like hell right afterwards.
Except you, the one person that you singled out for praise,
praise was God.
They asked
him. That's not lost on the political reports.
Geo, Russia, don't blame him. He wanted to blame that on what they said. He changed it. He's got that with cigar, and we can forbid him.
Now, they're certainly, they are very capable of it.
Very capable of
it. I don't want to
scare you off of a couple of things that are conceivably could come up. If something of Algeria comes up, Conley's working on the Treasury Department accession for imports in Algeria. Schultz is handling it. The committee working on it is in progress, and you ought to be just referred to Schultz. We'll have something for you to decide in due course. But it's complicated. It's interconnected with this other stuff that I mentioned.
Got it.
The second thing that he may raise is Russia. The pipeline, the whole Russian deal. He's going to see the region tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he may go to Russia as a private citizen, he said. This morning.
Yeah, I know
that.
That's right.
I've said, I was doing a Q&A with
the
U.S.
recruits.
Actually, I was going to check with you. I'd be curious about Watergate executive privilege.
No, I should have.
So it didn't make any difference. Is that something that I've seen?
What I did make a bit of difference, I got a little deep, and we're talking about mine.
And I was pressed a little on it by our friend there. And I think I handled it in a way that it probably was a good thing for us to do. You should have the most gobbledygook answer prepared. Just put it out on executive privilege. Which is something that will allow us to do everything that we want.
All right.
I frankly took the line, which I think he was because of he is a man of the Congress. I want to cooperate. Yeah. I'm not going to have it. We like Mr. Flanagan. We made him available and so forth. But on the other hand, we have to stand for it. But you understand.
I've been making the rounds up there. I've talked to Irvin and all these people, and I've been showing them the letter that you wrote Moss back in 69 that says all that same thing.
But why don't you just brush the letter off? And in order to get it, why don't you just give it to the Mullen office exclusively?
All right.
Why not?
Well, the others will ask Ziegler for it, I imagine, of course. But we've got
it
out.
Give it to Mullen, huh? And then he can say, and he's asked Ziegler for it.
All right.
And Mullen puts it out, and Ziegler says, yes, Mullen. It's nice to do something for Clark.
Well,
won't satisfy.
He wasn't doing you any favors today. With his follow-up, so on that specific case, that was a problem.
Actually, on that case, you know, I recall specifically telling somebody, Harlan.
You talked to Harlan about it, I believe. We've been reconstructing it since.
When Harlan was here, this case arose way early in the search. I thought it was a later.
No, this is that guy that ran on the C-5A overruns.
Oh yeah, way back, but he's still in the government.
And no, he's not. And he's appealed to the Civil Service Commission to be restored.
I'm thinking another case. Well, anyway, I backed it up.
Yeah.
Which I should.
Yeah, well, that was fine. And we're
Siemens have claimed it.
We're covering their track.
I didn't want to have any indication that somebody down the line had used privilege.
It's okay. We're covering his tracks. Siemens was wrong. He has no right to invoke it.
but you backed him up, and we can put it together in such a way that everything's okay. And so don't worry about it. With Colley, I did mention to him the idea that Helms would be the pivot man, because Colley has been weighing in heavily on us, and we should have stronger representation of the Shah, stronger representation in the Far East, in the Mideast, and so on. And I said that you had hopes for Helms, that if Helms worked out, he would be the answer. If he didn't, then we'd have to have a substitute. But that we had high hopes for Helms going out there. He will talk to you about an increase in research and development for energy. The budget this year is up 20% over last year. But I have said to Scoop Jackson that he should not take that as the final word on research and development, and that we'd be prepared to go more when it could be demonstrated that we could spend money all right. Now, Connolly's argument is the same as Jackson's, that if our R&D budget is high, that will tend to drive down the price of Mideast oil. And so he's for higher R&D. And so that's what that's all about. With Heath here, there could be an opportunity for you and Heath to discuss the problem of Iran if he's primed to do so. I wouldn't raise it if I were you, but it's conceivable that it could come up. And if it does, it's very touching, because the Shah on the one hand and Saudi Arabia on the other are whipsawing these companies. They're driving it up. They're not working together, as it turns out, but they're each playing the companies off against the deal with the other banks, and it's going up and up and up. And you cannot deal with one leg of that problem without also dealing with the other leg. So be very cautious about Heath carrying the hod for his British companies in this thing. Don't try and avoid any firm understanding with him that we'll do this or that or the other thing for the most part. Connolly also has a nice trust client, Blue Darn, Gulf and Western.
Jesus Christ.
And he's been down here peddling a problem that they have in the acquisition of ANP. The Justice Department is holding them off because they can't get enough information about the deal. Blue Darn won't come forward with the information that they need. And Connolly has shopped it to Kleinies, he shopped it to me. He's got a guy that shopped it to our trust guy, Kuiper. And they have asked us to intervene with the Federal Trade Commission, which we've all refused to do because that guy Kilpatrick will round us if we try to. It's too risky. But he may feel that he's not been well received at the Justice Department. The only thing you can say is that I've discussed this with you, you're aware of it, and that encourage his client to turn over as much information as possible to the Justice Department so we can give him a favorable ruling. They've been very acute with us on the amount of information that's come. And that's really all I can tell you on that. And that's Blue Darn. Yeah. He's been supporting you lately. Okay. I got a message, and I want to just check on this Time Magazine dinner about the powers of the Congress. I've had a message from you before that I was to go in behalf of the administration. Now the message I have is that I should cancel out, and that's fine with me.
What is it?
It's tonight.
What's the choice? You have to have an excuse. Well, let me say that I just go, but I would be goddamn cool turning under absolutely no circumstances what I see in other time in the future.
All right.
I think we've got a
couple. Well, I can cancel out if it'll help in any way.
I don't know if it will help. I mean, I think that I had thought that it was quite a time in the future.
No.
That's what I thought it was going to say to you. Find a way to be someplace else.
No, I couldn't.
There are circumstances. Wait, but since it would appear longer, let me say that I think times conduct is so bad at this point. None of this was precisely, but we're going
staff hardly, there's nobody else to tell me, like, that.
That's right.
But you're your judgment on it, but you understand, I don't believe, I don't want anything petty, I don't want anything that backfires on us. But on the other hand, I feel that with time, and, this means you gotta get better with news week. Just that, with time, that there's a special reason, we've done so much for them, good God, you have just done their advertising, now I've done their advertisers, so you've had them down here. You know, you just get the point that you say, well, isn't our time spent a little bit better with other people? You got my point, sir. Now, what's your judgment?
Your concern. I'm in a relationship with them where they know I disapprove of them. So it would not be a major signal for you to cancel out.
And I heard you told them already to disapprove of them.
Oh, I have consistently, and so there's no mystery about my, I mean, when I met with their editorial board, for instance, we ended up all shouting at each other, and we've had this kind of a arm's length relationship. And so, my going, or not going, isn't a skin off my nose in that relationship of any of those. No, I mean, the relationship is obviously industrial. It might appear to be that we're doing something to deliver. At a late hour, it might, unless I, that's what I did. So I think I would go, and then I would just cool it down, you know. They indicated the desires for all their righteous and the rest. Well, they've done this. They've invited George and me to a conference on energy that we aren't going to do.
That can get the right bond.
Do this. And that's easy to get out of.
Let me say that I read this case, John. I'm thinking of another guy.
You're thinking of that Navy fellow that talks about ash. Yeah. See, this was 4 years back.
You see, I had the two names.
Yeah.
It was my fault. It wasn't. Of course, I had
no problem.
No question.
No problem.
But I had to back up this one of its secrets.
Here's what we've done, just so you can deal with it. You know, the procedure is, if a cabinet officer wants to invoke executive privilege, he refers it to the Attorney General.
Yeah.
Says, I won't answer the question now. Refers it to the Attorney General. And eventually it comes to you if it's meritorious. So,
I have to invoke.
That's right. And so, what we're saying is, by the language that Siemens used, he was beginning that process. The hearing goes on. Meantime, he has referred it to the Attorney General. Attorney General is going to look at it and make a decision as to whether he should answer the question or not. And you were aware of this fact, and you acquiesced in the procedure being started. You made no final ruling.
You kicked me off the hook a little bit, but that's right. But basically, I said a little more than that.
No, you were actually pretty good when you read the strict words.
I understood what it was, and I approved. I was aware of the case, which I was. Harlow had raised it with me, I think.
That's correct.
I did way back.
So did Mollenhoff, interestingly enough. This guy, Siemens, had talked to both Mollenhoff and Harlow here. And I believe that at one time or another they both talked to you about it, but Harlow particularly talked to you about it.
But they run back and
whether or not he should be... well, he really wasn't fired. He was sort of transferred into a non-existent job.
And Harlow didn't shoot you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I thought.
He was a thorn in everybody's side.
Well, the point was not that he was complaining about the overruns, but that he was doing it in public.
That's the point, and cutting up his superiors.
That's right.
Yeah.
And frankly, not taking orders.
Well, I got a memo here in which the facts of the whole Fitzgerald thing.
Why don't you just put it out, and just put out the procedure and so forth and so on. And on the other thing, maybe if the with your executive privilege,
I would rather have Ron just give it to Clark and let him run with it. Well, turn him off.
You never know what you turn off, but at least it'll help a little. It shows. Here's the reason I give it to Clark. We know that he's been bitching about a lot of things and so forth and so on. And they think they're around here simply because somebody bitches. In other words, I don't want people to get the impression that somebody has to be 100% John. I guess nobody around here, nobody on our side of it would be 100%. Except maybe Frank Pangolin. This is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing we can expect ever comes to this kind of administration. On the other hand, therefore, that they're on a mom, young guy running for the mayor. Alaska, yeah. And in Alaska, I said, why don't you use the term? He said, look, I can't say this too much because I can see what you're saying. But if you're doing the right thing on Leo, he just says the only vote for people up there that are for are the people that are working and you're doing jobs. I said, why don't you just use the term? We're not going to have a bonanza for bureaucrats. And in Alaska, that's perfect. Oh, that's right. No bonanza for bureaucrats. We're going to get the money to the poor folks rather than the bad bureaucrats.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we should say.
The wear and tear of a dollar is the other line.
That's good.
Why send that dollar to Washington and back and go through all the wear and tear on that dollar? So,
got a good reception. U.S. News.
Good shake.
You did that today.
Yeah, I'm going to go back Monday and finish it up.
Good luck.
All right.
Well, there you are.
I'll be right back.